Jason, I appreciate the songs you've selected and the manner in which we've engaged in our worship. The presence of each and every one here, those who are our members. We have several of our number who are away. That's what happens in the summertime. We have some visitors as well, and we're grateful for your presence. All those who have led in our worship thus far have contributed to making it the best that it can be as we offer it unto God. And now we have a few moments in which we can open up God's Word and set aside the thoughts and cares of the day and focus upon what God would have us to do and how He would have us to live today. We know that our Vacation Bible School begins tomorrow. The theme of the Vacation Bible School is "The Race is On." And the children are going to be taught different lessons about following Jesus, but the idea throughout the week is that of competing in a race and finishing that race, running with Jesus every day. I'd like for us to spend a few moments this morning talking about the life of a Christian as a race, that all of us can be thinking in this direction, because not only is the VBS for the children in classes down the hallway, but every night we're going to have lessons here in the auditorium for the adults. And so all the members need to come, and we would like to have visitors even in the adult age group to come and to take part in the Vacation Bible School. And different men of the congregation, five of them, have volunteered to lead these discussions during the week. And we're going to have good lessons for adults as well as for children. But the whole theme is the idea of competing in and finishing a race. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because I want us to study from these verses this morning, or draw our study from the last few verses here in chapter 9, in which the Apostle Paul is in the midst of a discussion about the liberties that we as Christians have and the right that we have to exercise them. And sometimes those rights do not exist, and we don't need to be exercising our liberties. But in all things, we need to be thoughtful, and in all things, we need to be temperate and disciplined and make sure that we are serving the Lord appropriately. And here Paul draws upon an example that would have been very familiar to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul is talking here, talking about living the Christian life and serving the Lord acceptably, and draws on a couple of examples. Examples are worthless if people don't understand them, if people cannot connect with them. Paul here obviously is talking about the athletes as they compete in the games. And two games, two sports in particular, running a race and boxing or fighting. Well, the people of Paul's time were definitely familiar with the Olympic Games. When Alexander the Great took over Palestine, the Greek gymnastic sports were introduced to that area, and the Jews, by and large, were offended by them and refused to participate and refused to watch them because, number one, they were all held in honor of a pagan god, and that was offensive to the Jews. And secondly, the athletes competed in the nude, and that was the rules, and that was offensive to the Jews. They didn't participate, but they knew about them. They understood about them. Well, when Rome took over that part of the world, they kept many of the Greek customs, including the games. And there were a number of games that were held across the Roman Empire that were celebrated. Of course, there were the games that were held on Mount Olympus every 4 years, and that's where we get our modern-day Olympics, from that ancient observation and that ancient celebration. But there were other games as well, the Nemean Games and the Pythian Games and the Isthmian Games. And the Isthmian Games were held just 8 miles outside of Corinth. And so when Paul chose an athlete as an example of what it means to be a Christian, he was drawing on an example that he knew the recipients of his letter understood very well. They knew what it meant to compete in these games. They knew what it took in able to be competitive in these games and to win these games. So I want us to consider for a few moments, using the example that Paul uses here, I want us to consider some different lessons that we need to learn as Christians in comparing our life as Christians to that of an athlete taking part or preparing for an athletic event, or specifically running a race, because the race is on. And it's not just for our children next week, it's for all of us as we are serving the Lord. So what are some observations we need to make? What are some lessons we need to learn from this runner who is running this race? Well, number one, everyone is invited to run life's race. Everyone is invited to become a Christian. You know, in the ancient games, everyone was invited to run in the games. As long as you were eligible, you could compete. And that's not the case in sports today. When you step outside of the amateur level, you're very limited in how many people can compete. Not everyone gets to compete in collegiate sports. That's very few people get to do that, and even fewer make it on to the professional level in whatever sport you may want to consider. The field narrows greatly the more specialized you get, and the further you get towards the pro level. Not everyone is eligible, and not everyone is invited to compete. But that's not the case with being a Christian. Everyone is invited to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said so in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus extends the great invitation. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, in this passage, Jesus himself extends the invitation to all. Come to me, everyone. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 22 and verse 17, as we studied this morning in our class here in the auditorium, as the Bible comes to a close, an invitation is extended. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation to go to heaven is extended to everyone. Whoever wants may come. Whoever desires may enter and run this race. And the reason is because God wants everyone to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Everyone can be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. Now, there are some things that we're not all invited to. We're not all invited to go and to do everything. But we are all invited to go to heaven. That invitation has been extended to all. In the book of John, in the Gospel of John at chapter 6 and verse 37, I want to read this verse, then we'll go on to the next point. John chapter 6, and at verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. We're not going to come to Jesus and then be told, oh, I didn't mean you. I want to tell you, the Lord will accept you as His if you will come to Him. All are invited to run this race. Second thing, in order to win, and that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, winning that crown, in order to win, you have to enter the race. These athletes would not be crowned if they never entered the race. Back when I was in junior high, I played football. In junior high, I stopped growing, and my classmates didn't. And so by the time I got to high school, I realized I would have been sitting on the bench. And so I quit going out for football. But I still went to the games from time to time. And I noticed when I attended the games, I would set up in the stands and I would look down on the field and I'd see my classmates playing down on the field. But if I turned around and looked down behind the stands, there were always some kids back there playing ball too. Somebody would bring a football and the kids would get together and they'd go back there and they'd play back there as well. You know what? The following morning, I never read any of those kids' names in the paper. They're down there playing. They're making good plays. They're catching passes. They're scoring touchdowns. Their names are never in the paper. They never got any trophies. They never got their letter jackets showing that they played ball. Why? Because they didn't go out for high school football. They weren't on that team. And so they didn't get the recognition. They had to sign up and they had to play on that team in order to be eligible to win any recognition or any prize. And the same thing is true with Christianity. It doesn't matter how good we are, and I'm glad that this world has good moral people in it. We need more of them. But that's not enough to save us in the end. Listen to me, as you turn to Acts chapter 10, listen to me, if anyone could be saved without Jesus Christ, then everyone could be saved without Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't have come and died. But the fact that Jesus has died means that that was necessary for him to do so, and we cannot be saved without coming to Christ and without having our sins washed away in his shed blood. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, we read about Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man. Well, he's an upstanding man, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Well, most people would read this passage and would conclude, well, there's a Christian. But he wasn't. He was a good man, but he was lost. He sees an angel, and an angel tells him to send for whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Verse 6, he will tell you what you must do. Cornelius was doing great in serving his fellow man and honoring God the best way he knew how, but he wasn't out on the field. He was back behind the stands. And as such, he was not recognized by the Lord as belonging to him. And his efforts would be for nothing concerning his eternal well-being and his soul. To compete in the Greek games, contestants had to meet qualifications. They had to prove that they were of Greek descent, and they had to train properly. And if they did not meet these qualifications, they were not allowed to compete. They couldn't enter the race. The same thing is true with us, spiritually speaking. Unless we meet the qualifications, we cannot enter the field of competition. We're not allowed down there. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. We must confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. And we must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. That's how we enter the playing field. That's how we get onto the racetrack. If we don't become a Christian, we're just like those kids who are playing behind the stands. Yeah, we might do something with our life, but it's not going to count in eternity. It's not going to do us any good. We've got to get in the race. We've got to enter in order to compete and win. Another thing we need to draw, another lesson we need to draw, is the fact that we have to follow the rules. In order to win the race, we have to follow the rules. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Think about that. We're talking about running to win. Paul is talking about winning that crown and not being disqualified. And here, later on, he writes to Timothy and says, you're not crowned unless you compete according to the rules. We must strive lawfully. If a boxer hits a man in the back of the head, he's going to knock him out. But he's not going to win the match because that was an illegal blow. Unless it's this new competitive fighting thing that's really catching on, and then I think with that you can do anything but bite. And of course, you do that in boxing. But anyways, we understand if you don't compete according to the rules, you have to forfeit your Sugar Bowl championship. And as Ohio State fans, we went through that a number of years ago. Right, Jeff? Right, yeah. Rules matter. And if you don't follow the rules, it doesn't count. And brethren, that applies to Christianity as well. God's grace is there to forgive us of our sins, but not to atone for our rebellion or our lack of care for what God would have us to do. We have to follow the rules. People are led to believe today that they can do whatever they want to, and God is up in heaven in His rocking chair, looking down upon them, just tickled to death that they're doing anything in service unto Him. But that's not what I read of in the Scriptures. What I read of in the Scriptures is, blessed are they who do His commandments, that they may enter into the city, and they may eat the tree of life. I read that the rules are important. I read that it's important to obey what the Lord has told us to do. I read, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The Apostle Paul talked an awful lot about the grace of God. But in this passage, he talks about being disqualified from the competition. It can happen. We have to follow the rules. We have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something else, if the race is on and we're in it, and we're in it to win, we've got to run to win. It's not enough to be down there on the field. You've got to compete. You've got to run to win. It's common for teams to get in a lead, to score 8 runs, and then let a team like Toronto come back and win. I mean, that happens. So, and what you lose. When you get out there on the field, you've got to give it all until the final whistle or until the final inning is over. You've got to give it your all. In the Scriptures, in Revelation chapter 2, we read there about a church that left its first love. It was doing everything right, but it was just going through the motions. They weren't doing it for the right reason. And the Lord tells them to repent. He says, I've got this against you. So we've got to be careful. We've got to make sure that the zeal is still there. We've got to do what we have to keep that zeal there, not artificially stimulate it by physical things, but we've got to stay connected with God through His Word and through prayer and through worship and through our fellowship with our brethren right here as we assemble and edify one another. There are some things that separate a winner from an ordinary runner. One would be discipline. Paul talks here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about discipline. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And then down in verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. In the Olympic Games, athletes were under rigid training. And they had to begin their training 10 months before the events even began. Starting then, they ate a supervised diet. 30 days before the events took place, they were under constant supervision. They had to exercise regularly. They had to eat the right kind of diet, and they weren't allowed any association with women whatsoever during that time. If they did not train properly, they weren't allowed to compete. And that took discipline. They weren't chained to the wall. They weren't forced at knife point to go into exercise. They did it themselves. They disciplined themselves. They realized if they didn't do this, they didn't get to compete.
and thus there was no way that they would win. We have to do the same thing. The Lord isn't going to force us to abstain from evil. We have to choose to do so. The Lord isn't going to force us to assemble with the saints and read our Bible and pray unto Him. We do so because we're disciplined. We realize that we have to if we're going to stay in the race and if we're going to see it through to the end. So it takes discipline, and it also takes endurance. In Hebrews chapter 12, Donnie Baker, as he made the comments this morning at the table, drew from three excellent illustrations we have in the Bible of endurance. One being there of Job, the other of the Apostle Paul, and then finally, of course, Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God." You see, the Christian life is not a stroll through the park, and it's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And we've got to stick with it all the way through to the end. And there are going to be plenty of distractions that come along the way. But we've got to have that single-mindedness and that focus that our Lord had. We've got to look unto Him and look unto His example, and we've got to stay with it, and we've got to see it through to the very end. And we also have to have a pressing on mentality. In order to run the win, we've got to have discipline, we've got to have endurance, and we've got to press on. Going back to the example of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We're not going to get to heaven by accident. It's going to take purpose. We've got to press on toward that goal. The crown isn't given to those that just jog around the track. It's given to those who run to win, who press their way to the finish line harder and faster than anyone else. In life's race, you either win or you lose. You don't come in second. We've got to run to win. We've got to learn that lesson. Also, we know that the race is going to be judged. The Olympics, of course, had judges and had referees. And we know that life's race is going to be judged as well. But it's not going to be judged by a prejudiced judge or one that is impartial, but it's going to be judged by Jesus Christ Himself. In the Gospel of John at chapter 5, John chapter 5, Jesus says, John chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, "Whereas the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." Jesus has the right, He has the authority to exercise judgment on us as we run this race. He was given that right, that authority by God. Jesus possesses life. He has the right to give the prize to the winner. And His judgment is fair. Verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And one of the things that really gets fans embroiled is when the refs make a bad call on their team. It happens in football. It happens in baseball now to the point they've got instant replay to cover some scenarios in professional baseball. It happens, I guess, in basketball. You know one thing? I never could be a referee in basketball because I've never really understood the rules regarding fouls. I would watch basketball on television, or I'd go and watch my friends play or go to games at school, and the ref would blow the whistle and call a foul on somebody. What'd he do? Well, he reached in and did. Well, they do that all the time. Why was that a foul, and these other times it's not a foul? I still don't understand those types of rules. But I don't have to. There are other people who are qualified to make those calls. We can trust Jesus Christ to be our judge. He knows the rules. He wrote them. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote the rules. So He is going to be the perfect judge and an impartial judge. His judgment is righteous. John chapter 12, verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So we are judged. The race is going to be judged, not by rules that we make up, but by the rules that we can find in the Scriptures. And then finally, we know that a prize is awarded to those who finish the race. A prize is awarded. Paul talked about that again here in 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. The winners of the Olympic Games received a palm branch from the judges, and a heralder would proclaim their name and their home city after they won that competition. On the last day of the games, all of the winners were given a wreath that were made from leaves that was believed to be from a sacred olive tree. Well, sacred olive tree or not, what happened to that wreath eventually? It perished. It died. And that's what Paul is alluding to here. They do all this work to get a crown that's only going to last for a little while, and then it just withers away. But Paul says, look at what we have at stake in this race. We're going to win a crown that will not perish, a crown that will not go away. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what's at stake for us as we are running life's race. Sometimes we take our eyes off the goal. Sometimes we forget about the beauties of heaven and how glorious it is going to be, and what a great blessing it's been for us to study about heaven in our last two classes. As we've taken a look at Revelation 21 and 22, and looked at what John saw there, and to think about the beauty of heaven. And this afternoon, in our singing, Steve Drummond has chosen songs about heaven taken from Revelation 21 and 22. So I'm especially looking forward to our song service this afternoon so that we can sing about heaven. The Scriptures tell us about the beauty of heaven. And the Scriptures tell us that it's worth enduring whatever we have to endure in order to finish this race and to receive that imperishable crown. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brethren, we are running in a race. It's a race that we have to finish in order to receive that crown. What do we know about this race? Everyone's invited to run, but we've got to enter. We've got to compete according to the rules. We've got to run to win. It's going to be judged by an impartial judge, and a prize is awarded to those who will finish. So we are going to be focusing on running this race. That's the theme of our VBS as we go forward through this week. We need to think about that this morning. Think about how we are running in this race. Think about how we are competing. And think about if we have a right to expect to be awarded after this race is over. If you would, get out your songbooks and turn to the number that Brother Jason has selected as our song of invitation. If you are with us this morning and you are not yet a Christian, or maybe you don't know if you are or not, I want to very quickly go over what we mentioned a few minutes before about entering that race. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you do well, but that doesn't get you out on that field. That doesn't get you into Christ. You must repent of your sins. That is, turn and give your life in obedience unto Him. You must own the Lord with your own mouth. You must confess Him before others. And you must be baptized into Christ, where His blood is found, so that your sins can be forgiven. That puts you in the race. That puts you out on the field. That makes you eligible for that prize at the end. And then you need to run to win. And I'll tell you, you're among people who are running to win, and we'll help you to get there. Christian, listen to me. Did you hear Paul talk about being disqualified? Every time I read that passage, I think if an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ had to be concerned about that, how much more do I? Are you running according to the rules? Are you still running to win? Or have you taken your eyes off of the prize? Have you let go? Have you walked off the field? You need to come back. The race is on. Are you still in it? Are you running to win? If you need to make correction, whatever spiritual needs you may have, the invitation is for you, and we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.